Every week for the last few weeks, local GP Declan Matthews has been joining us to give us local advice on COVID-19. And I'm delighted to say that he joins me now again. And you are very welcome, Declan.
Thank you very much, Linda.
Now, when we spoke last week, the case count was at 5,709 and the death toll stood at 210 people. Today it stands at 13,271 cases and unfortunately 486 people have lost their lives. Do you still feel that we're managing to stay on top of this?
Yes, I do. And I know the figures are tragic and I know 43 deaths yesterday, and that's 43 grannies, granddads, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, friends of people. And it does sound horrific, but we are getting on top of this thing. The figures aren't half as bad as we originally expected or as we originally predicted for this, and it looks like we're getting there. We're not there, and let's not lose sight of that. There is a good bit to go yet, but we are certainly getting there, and we do seem to be managing to flatten the curve as we talk about.
Speaking of flattening the curve, are we close to that peak, or is it too early to say at this stage?
My gut feeling is that we're probably over that peak, or that peak never quite hit. But if we get careless, if we start neglecting the rules, if we stop washing our hands, if we start socialising more, if we start getting careless in our social distancing, then the curve will just rise again.
When we last spoke, we didn't know at that point that the restrictions were going to be extended until the 5th of May. It was a further 3 weeks from what they initially thought it was going to be. Now, from a GP's point of view, when these restrictions do eventually start to lift, and they will lift at some point, how should the government go about lifting them?
That's a very good question. And I think it's important to think this isn't the first time we've had a pandemic like this. Back, and I'll do a small little bit of history if you just excuse me for a second. But back in 1918, towards the end of the First World War, there was a flu called the Spanish flu. It actually didn't come from Spain at the time. It actually came across the Atlantic with troops coming to fight in the First World War. But it got called the Spanish flu at the time because at the time Spain had no restrictions on reporting things at the time, and they reported a lot more, so it just became known as the Spanish flu. And it just shows you, you know, it could be false to cause this one, the Chinese flu. It may change wherever it came from initially. But at the time, you had the Spanish flu. It occurred early in the summer of 1918, and it occurred for about 2 months and was quite bad, but then it died away a bit and it stopped. Then it recurred very viciously in the autumn of 1918. And it was quite more lethal the second time it occurred. It died down again, and then it recurred early in 1919 again. And at the time, 20 to 25,000 people in Ireland died from it. It seemed to have been particularly bad flu from the point of view of it was younger people, people in their 20s and 30s who died. And if you go into any graveyard in Ireland today and you see somebody who died in 1918 or 1919 who was in their 20s or 30s, it's almost certainly they died from the Spanish flu at the time. And this is what I'm really trying to get at here, is we are worried that if you undo all the good that's been done, you will get this second wave or this third wave again. And that's really what we're trying to avoid. So the undoing of these restrictions, it will not be quick. It will be slow. I hate to tell people this. I know it's very depressing, but it will be slow. But it's for very, very good reasons. They did the exact same things back in 1918 that we're doing today, even though viruses hadn't been thought about at the time, you know, the 20 years before viruses were sort of theorised. They did the exact same thing. They closed the schools, they closed businesses, they closed factories. So it's funny, it's like reliving that again.
And it is very naive, isn't it, to think that life as we knew it prior to COVID-19 can just come back at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, and I don't think it will come back at the drop of a hat. I mean, like, we're all looking forward to going to the pub for a pint. We're all looking forward to going out for a cup of coffee. When I finish here, I'd love to go downtown and have a cup of coffee. But I can't go downtown and have a cup of coffee. And we have to accept that. It's for very, very good reasons. It's to save lives. It's to save everybody in our community's lives.
Now, unfortunately, we've been hearing an awful lot about clusters, and particularly in nursing homes, where to date there has been 163 clusters, and that 300 of the 486 deaths so far in this country have occurred in community settings. Now, what exactly is a cluster, and why is it so dangerous?
Basically, clusters are where you get more than two or three cases in the one area or in the one in the one building. And as I say, nursing homes seem to be particularly vulnerable to this. I think that as a nation, we've dealt with this extremely well. But I think if we are guilty of anything, we probably took our eyes off the nursing homes. And I think we need to sort of refocus looking after people in nursing homes and to make sure that they're dealt with and that the staff in nursing homes who are coping unbelievably well, but that they're better supported than they have been up to now. And I do know as of today or as of tomorrow, they're starting to test people in the nursing homes, because it seems that the elderly don't necessarily present with the same symptoms that you and I might present with. So you and I might present with temperature, cough, fever. Somebody in a nursing home might just present with just the temperature, or may just present with getting a little bit more confused than normal. So it's not as easily identified. And that's why they have a policy in place now to start trying to identify it in nursing homes.
On to the wearing of masks, and this one that continues to come up. How much benefit is it to people to wear masks when they're out and about?
This is a very good question, and my gut feeling on this one is that the advice up to now has been that we shouldn't wear masks. I have a feeling this may change fairly soon. The theory behind the masks, the original defence of saying why we didn't need to wear masks, was because it didn't necessarily protect us, and also we got a false sense of security when we wear the mask. A lot of the theory behind the masks is that the mask doesn't prevent me from getting infection, it prevents you from getting it from me. I have a feeling one of the reasons we were advised not to wear masks may have been a supply issue at the time. Gut feeling is that we will be advised soon enough to start wearing masks, especially when we go shopping and things like that, or when we get into places where there's a potential to meet people.
And we see a lot of people around town, and it's starting to become the norm. And it's something that if it's a good precautionary measure, we should certainly at least try it, shouldn't we?
Absolutely. I mean, if you ever see film from Japan or something like that, just from the streets of Japan, for years they've always sort of worn masks in public. So it's something that we'd be quite used to doing. I don't think it'll be a big problem. We're all used to seeing people with it. I have a feeling it's going to become more the norm than it is at the moment.
Okay. Now, HSE recently released a map of confirmed cases, and it seems to show that this area in particular seems to be one that is the least affected. Is that accurate in your opinion?
I do think we've been fairly lucky in the Cork area in general. And if you look at that map, you can see that West Cork is very, very good. The city is a bit more red, as they say, and East Cork isn't looking bad at the moment. And that would be the feeling we get on the ground. But if we start getting careless, if we ignore the advice, this area will get red like everywhere else.
Now, last week you spoke about your son, Dara, who's a doctor in one of the hospitals in Cork, and that they were busy, but they weren't overwhelmed, and that they were expecting a surge this week or next week. How are they coping now?
They're still coping very well. They're still busier. In fact, they're busier now at the moment in the non-COVID areas. It's still the problem of people falling off ladders. And tragically, there does seem to be an increase in the amount of abuse, physical abuse that's going on, because people are locked up in houses together. That's a tragic part of what's happening. But there are problems in that area.
A lot of people are wondering if you are immune after you catch this virus. Is there any evidence to support that yet?
No, there isn't any evidence. There has been some cases a few cases reported worldwide where people seem to have caught it a second time. But it doesn't seem to be the norm. And one would feel that if you got COVID, that you will then have immunity for at least 1 to 2 to 3 years.
And finally, Mike, over to you. What message do you want to get out to the people today?
I want to get out to people, look, we're doing great. We really are doing great. We're not being sort of inundated with queries about COVID at the moment. Certainly with queries we are, but not with cases of suspected COVID. We are doing great. We need to do better with nursing homes, and we will do better with nursing homes. There's no doubt. People must stick to the rules. We're flattening the curve. We've flattened the curve. We haven't got to the peak that we thought we would get to. But look, it's important that we just keep doing what we're doing. We just keep sticking to the rules. I know it's very, very difficult. I know we're all sort of beginning to get stir crazy. Our houses are looking amazing. Our gardens are looking amazing. We're painting everywhere. But there's a reason behind this. This will go. We will get there. We just need to stick to the rules and keep it out for another while.
Declan, as always, thanks a million for coming in to me. We will chat again next week. And guys, if you're listening to this and if there's any questions or anything like that you would like to send in, give us a shout here on 024-91199 or 92288, or send a message into the CRY All Facebook page. We put them all together and these interviews are being very well received. People like hearing your voice, Declan. You do a great job with them. Thanks a million for coming in to me.
Thanks, Linda.